Yesterday morning, Chicago Police Chief Eddie Johnson revealed the conclusion to a case that has commanded national headlines.
Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations?
Smollett faces a felony charge for falsely claiming that two men had attacked him last month near his Chicago apartment in a hate crime targeting his race and sexual orientation. Smollett the police say that he orchestrated this attack, paying two brothers to carry out the seemingly vicious assault to raise his profile. Through his attorney, Smollett continues to deny having played a role. Joining me from New York City is Clay Kane. He's host of SiriusXM's The Clay Kane Show. His piece for The Washington Post yesterday had the headline, "Jussie Smollett isn't the reason black LGBT hate crime victims aren't believed." Clay, welcome to On Point.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, when you've written about the intersectionality of your identity and that of others, which is to say of being both African-American and gay. When you first heard about this attack, what did it inspire in you?
Well, naturally, I had compassion. I had empathy because I know so many people who have been assaulted, who have been killed, and nobody spoke their names, and there were no hashtags, and nobody really cared. So I had compassion and I had empathy. And I think I heard my colleague here at SiriusXM say this, Zelina Maxwell, that should be the default, to have compassion, to have empathy. So that's what I did. That's what so many other people did, because I think it's important to realize these things do happen. And if we don't have compassion, then people are just going to be ignored and they're going to feel isolated. And I also realized that with Jussie, he is a celebrity. So the folks that I knew when I was growing up, they didn't have that access to that kind of platform. So my initial reaction was compassion.
So what do you make now that we're at a very different point, which is to say that, there are charges against Smollett for having, in the eyes of law enforcement, fabricated this, and the police chief didn't, seem at all antipathetical to concerns about people being attacked on racial grounds or on grounds of sexual orientation, but said this would undermine the ability of law enforcement to get people to take this as seriously as it should be taken. I think you argue against that. Why is that the case?
That was just so outrageous when I heard the police chief say that. And I really have to push back against this idea that it'll be harder for victims of hate crimes to be believed. It already is hard for us to be believed. If you believe victims of hate crimes before Jussie, you will keep believing them. If you didn't believe victims of hate crimes before Jussie, and you won't believe them after, that has nothing to do with him. So the idea that the Chicago PD, and to be quite frank with you, it's just very rich for them to say that, considering that we have black children being shot and killed on their watch, and investigations that have not been as thorough and as swift as Jussie's was and is. So that's just not true. And as a black gay man, I could tell you we aren't believed. And so in order for him to say that, he would have to believe that there was some type of that there was all this faith in us before, and there isn't. I've had friends who've been beaten into the pavement. I've had friends who've been shot and killed. I've had friends who've been murdered. And it's so hard to charge a hate crime. So I just felt like that is not true. And if you are law enforcement, you should be emotionally intelligent enough and well-trained enough to be able to take a hate crime accusation seriously. And I lay out example after example way before Jussie of victims of hate crimes being ignored. So that's just it's just wrong. It's not true. And I was really offended by that.
And we'll make sure to have a link to your to Clay Kane's article from the Washington Post about this very topic on our website.
One more thing. This is really important. David, why doesn't it happen the other way around? As I lay it on my Washington Post article, there is a long, tragic history of white people falsely accusing black people of crimes. Carolyn Bryant, Susan Smith, most recently Kristen Rimes in South Carolina. Why isn't the credibility of white people damaged? Why isn't it harder to believe white people? Why isn't it harder to take white people seriously? And the reason why it doesn't work the other way around is because the true reason why people don't believe black LGBT victims of hate crimes is because of white supremacy, misogyny, and homophobia. So let's call a thing a thing. If it doesn't work the other way around for white people, then let's call it what it really is. It's white supremacy. It's not because of one black gay person in history who may have allegedly falsified a police report. One, considering the long epic history, and we're talking about this during Black History Month. When you look at Carolyn Bryant, who is 85 years old, who accused Emmett Till of touching her or winking at her or something, and she is still living her life in Mississippi as her governor, Phil Bryant, her nephew, Phil Bryant, is the governor of Mississippi.
I think, Clay, I want to step in. My understanding and some journalists and others have looked at this is that there has been no link proven between the accuser of Emmett Till and the governor, even though there was some thought of some shared surnames there. But regardless of that, I think the larger point you're trying to make, though, is the question of a default and the idea of a default being that white people will be believed, and the default people that being that you're saying people of color, African-Americans, that gay people may not themselves be believed if they're saying that they have been targeted for attack, particularly by virtue of their identity.
Absolutely. It should work both ways, but it doesn't because of white supremacy. And that's an important point.
You know, in Chicago, one of the things I saw laid out by a journalist columnist for the Chicago Tribune was the record of the Chicago police, not only in the question of people being shot, but the question of homicides being resolved there, that is solved there, that charges being pressed against perpetrators, those homicides, particularly against African Americans. I think the Washington Post did its own survey that going back to 2011, something like only 25% of homicides had charges brought against them, that is, they were solved by police, at least in their own judgment. How does this comport with the way in which you find law enforcement to deal with accusations or concerns about crimes against African Americans?
You know, it's so interesting that you say that, David, because when the Chicago police did their press conference, the way they were talking about Jussie Smollett, I almost thought that he confessed. I said, oh, gosh, because they were speaking in such absolutes. And I respect law enforcement. I respect police. But I will tell you that I have seen people who have shot unarmed black children on camera and get more of a presumption of innocence than Jussie Smollett is getting. And I just hope that people are able to give him the same grace that the person who shot Laquan McDonald 16 times in 14 seconds in Chicago. Exactly, Jason Van Dyke, who was found guilty, but it took four or five years to get to that. The same grace to the police officer who shot Tamir Rice in Ohio, who is still a police officer. So it's just fascinating to me that. You know, he didn't commit a violent crime if he did commit this crime.
And yet, in the very brief time we have before we go, can you understand why some people would say, you know, this guy is exploiting his prominence but also his identity to get attention, try to further his career? Isn't there something warped about that?
Absolutely. If it's true, though, David, if it's true, and I do think that we, you know, in the beginning, a lot of folks jumped on it and, automatically condemned this incident. And now I feel like we're going on the other side of it.
And we're going to have to stop right there. Clay Kane, host of SiriusXM's The Clay Kane Show, thank you for sharing your insight today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You can continue conversation, get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point is produced by Anna Bauman, Brian Hardzinski, Eileen Amata, Stefano Katsonis, Allison Poli, James Ross, Alex Schroeder, and Adam Waller, with help from Matt Hoist, Asil Kibi, and Alex Pena. Our executive producer, Karen Schiffman, me. I'm David Folkenflik, and this is On Point.